Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, verse number 1. We kind of had a kind of an introduction to John last week. We're going to start going through this. And anybody need a worksheet? Didn't I get a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. One over here, John. You would? Or Sean? Right here in the middle. Keep your hand up till it gets there. The Gospel of John. We've been working our way through the different books of the Bible. When we got to the New Testament, we did Matthew pretty well verse by verse. And then we did Mark, everything that wasn't in the other Gospels. Then we did everything in Luke that wasn't in the other Gospels. Right down the middle here. Oh, you got it? Okay, very good. You got it. And now we're going through John. And when I say we're going to do everything that's in John, it's not in the other Gospels, it's going to be a good bit because John is not one of those synoptic Gospels. John had a different approach. He had a different reason for writing his gospel. And so he wanted us to know who Jesus was and salvation, full and free. And so the other ones did too, but there was other aspects of Christ that they were showing him. Matthew was showing Jesus as the king. Mark was showing him as the, notice, king, servant. Luke was the son of man, and John is the son of, isn't that funny? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's everything. There was no more of a humble servant than Jesus Christ. And there's no one who will ever be more exalted than Jesus Christ. You know? And so it's interesting. There's no man who was ever more man and had to deal with what man has to deal with than Jesus Christ. But it's also no one who's ever, you can't be more God than anybody else. You're all God. If you're God, you're God. And so he's all God as well. And so it's amazing how it is. There's a balance. And I think sometimes when we read the Bible, sometimes we see something and say, my first degree was in music, and my very first degree before I went into seminary was actually at a liberal arts college, and so you had to take some courses in their religion and philosophy department, and you had folks in there who were saying that the God of the Old Testament was a different God than the New Testament. No! I'm the Lord, I change not. Now, that's what Malachi 3:6 says. So, I mean, he's no different God, but he was trying to teach us some things, and so he was trying to help us understand some things here as well. And so we have the gospel of John. Let's read the first few verses, and then I'm going to tag on two other verses, and we'll get moving here this evening. John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." By who? You say, well, by God. Well, no, by the Word. Well, they're both true. They're already giving us an idea. This is all one. All things were made by Him, the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jump down to verse number 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jump down to verse number 18. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." You see where we're going with this? And so let's pray. And I'm doing this, if I say, "In the beginning, God." Well, in the beginning, Jesus. And one doesn't contradict the other. In the beginning, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for the truths. And thank You for that You give us the opportunity to understand these things. And Lord, help us to maybe solidify some things in our own hearts. Maybe just remind ourselves. Lord, we're like I'm just kind of like a sieve. And a lot of things leak out as I put it in, and yet it leaks out over the years. And we're not careful. We start making decisions by the world's philosophy and the world's information and what the world says is knowledge. And before long, things kind of slip around. We got to go back and settle ourselves sometimes, such as the fundamentals of Jesus Christ is God. And it seems like a silly thing to have to think about. But the fact is, if we don't have that squared away, we're in trouble. And I know there's some folks who are trying to eliminate that doctrine if they could. And Lord, if we do that, we have nothing. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time. Help me be a blessing. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give us what we need here. And each of us individually, what each of us need. In Christ's name, amen. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word there is Logos. It means something said. The thought. The motive. The concept. The essence. In the beginning, God. Now, as I said last time, the Gospel of John reveals Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The account here gives many historical accounts. However, John has a purpose in what he's writing. That purpose is to show Jesus as God. And we must address, to do so, we must address some doctrinal issues. There's a lot of doctrine in the book of John. And some things we just kind of read past, and yeah, okay, he was born a virgin, Merry Christmas, you know, and the sweetness and the baby and the manger and all the, you know, the magi and the shepherds, and we just kind of move on. And we've taken that, we've kind of taken that whole story, and we kind of have sweetened it up and made it warm and fuzzy and talk about the baby and the crying and the lullabies and all this kind of stuff. And be honest with you, there's a lot of doctrine in there. And if we don't get that doctrine straight, we have nothing to believe in. Our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. And if all we're believing is some man who was a good guy, who was a good example, who taught us how to live, we have nothing. We're still dead in our sins. Because we're not going to get to heaven by being a good person. I don't care who taught us how to be a good person. We're always going to come up short. We can do everything that Jesus Christ did and still die and go to hell. We're not trusting him as our Savior because it's only by the blood of Christ that we have salvation. Now, this account of the life of Jesus, I just said, is not a warm and fuzzy storytelling, how Jesus interacted with the people of the towns and the villages, which is much more like what Luke did. He was getting to the heart of the people. To truly believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, one needs to know and understand the facts in which we are to place our faith. And John has set out to do that. John begins with making sure that the world knows that Jesus is the Creator and has been from the very beginning. Now these statements, these ones here, very beginning, they seem so simple and yet they're so profound. These statements are easy to pass over, but they are very foundational and core to what Christianity is about, and to deny these statements, any of these statements, is really to deny Jesus himself, because he's telling us who he is. Now, there are many religions that want to profess to be Christians, and yet they think they can do so and still deny some of these fundamental truths. Now notice how John writes from different angles, and you're going to see some things here. And John says who Jesus is, and then he says who he's not. And the purpose is to simply make these truths clear and unmistakable. Number one, Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was in the beginning. All of creation began with Jesus. Now, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the word beginning there, number one, is the commencement. Now, the commencement of everything as we know it. The commencement as we know it. Who knows what there was before God said, let there be light? I don't know what we know, but I know that God was here. And I know that Jesus was here before the foundation of the world was laid. In fact, the Bible says he was slain before the foundation of the world. What's that mean? He was already the decision was already made that God's going to make a world and the people in the world are going to sin, but he had to allow them to sin so that they could choose him back. There's another reason why Calvinism is stupid. If he's going to make a decision, why in the world would he make people to sin so that his son had to go to the cross and die? What kind of masochistic, what kind of crazy person would do such a thing. I'm going to make somebody sin so my only begotten son can have a horrible death and die. But God allows us to sin, because if he didn't allow us to sin, we couldn't choose not to go against him, but to go for him, to choose him as our Savior. And so he has to allow that. And so in the beginning, so to Jesus, the decision was made before the foundation of the world. So we know that he was here before them. So he was here at the commencement of everything we know. The Bible says he was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was already here. So number three, the word is the word logos, and it means something said. And let me say it, here it is, to express a concept. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was what God wanted us to know. It was truth. It was who he is. It was his expression of who he is in a way that we can understand it. Listen, we really think we're pretty smart. And sometimes we think we got God all figured out. Listen, I really believe when we get to heaven, we're still not going to have God all figured out, because then we would be God. I don't think we'd have it all figured out. I really don't think we are. And we're going to know a lot of things we didn't know before, and I think we're going to be able to see some things in hindsight. But my guess is he's not going to give us the formula to make our own universe. I just don't think he's going to. We don't need to know that. The Lord, so in the beginning was the Word. The Lord had something to say, and he said it through creation. The Lord expressed who he is through creation. Look at letter C. Creation praises the Lord's name by simply, watch, being what God designed them to be. Creation praises the Lord's name by simply being what God designed it to be. It works. Did you ever try to invent something and it didn't work? And you think, oh my soul, don't want anybody to know that I did that. Because you say that's an image, it's expressing of my ignorance. But when something works, you don't mind everybody knowing, because it's an expression of my intelligence. The fact that it works gives me praise. You see what I'm saying? Why do you think guys, I mean, this shouldn't be the only reason, but why do you think a lot of guys like to take some old car that came out of the junk pile and they build this thing until it's slick and shiny and want to go show it? You know what it is? It's an expression of who they are. I hate to say it, it's an expression of, look what I did. Now, they enjoyed it, but the fact is, we like it. I grew up with this. I know what I'm talking about. You know? When Dad was doing a car, we weren't going to do a car if it wasn't going to get first prize at Nationals. You know, that's just the way it was. And his car's always got first prize at Nationals. And he get a first junior, then he get a first senior, then he get a Grand Nationals. That's what his cars would do. We weren't going to, very seldom was he going to do a car, and if he wasn't going to do it, the win. And the fact is, you know, if you look up Sterling Walsh, if you Google Sterling Walsh Sr., and you talk about Stanley Steamers or those kind of things, you'll see a car that he restored. You'll hear about his name. His one Stanley Steamer was on sale in England. I saw it. It was for sale over there. So, you know, but the fact is, our creation expresses who we are to a certain extent. Well, God's creation does the same thing. Now, if you want to look at it with me, you can. I don't think I had space for it. Psalm 148, verse 1 says this. Psalm 148. If you're fast, I'll give you a couple other numbers if we go on. But listen to what it says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Watch. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Now we say, well, okay, the angels can praise him because they probably can talk or sing or something, you know. But what about the moon? Oh, that's right, there's a man on the moon. I've never seen his lips move. So you say, well, what's that mean? It means the sun and the moon praise him. The stars praise him. Why? Because they do exactly what he designed them to do. They know what time the moon's coming up. The sun's coming up. They know where the stars are going to be. All these things are put in place, and they work exactly because in him all things consist. and the fact that these things work. Listen, you cut your finger, and when everything is working the way God designed it to work, you know in a few days it starts to heal itself. The boys came over this spring, and they were trying to earn money to go to the youth conference. And my son was out there with him, and my wife said, we were paying the boys to move mulch and stuff, and she said to my son, you know what, you probably should trim that bush before we put the mulch down. You know, well, you can do that to your son, you know how it is. So he got that thing out, he got the electric trimmers out there, and he had been trimming and so forth. The other day I tried to get the cord out. Guess what somebody cut through? Zip, just as clean as it could be. And you know, that thing didn't heal itself. It didn't heal itself. But if I sliced my finger, it would have been long since healed. That glorifies God. Because in him is life. And not just the beginning of life, but the consisting of life, the continuation of life. In him is life, 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 life. Life does not die if it's life. And so it says here, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. And let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, watch, in Psalm 148:5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. It happened, just like he said. He hath also established them forever and ever. In other words, they're going to do what they're supposed to do until it's time they're not supposed to do anymore. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, and fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy and wind, and fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts of all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young and men, maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above all the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, people dear unto him. Praise ye the Lord. That's what that psalm says. Psalm 119 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language. So there's no place where there's not a language barrier. It says where their voice is not heard. All you got to do is look up and see it. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In other words, it's almost like they sing a song. It all goes together in harmony. The word line here means like a line of poetry. He says it just all works together and all slides together and rhymes together. It just all goes together. In them hath he set a tabernacle of the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Basically, what they're saying is, in the beginning, Jesus put this all together. Letter D. Jesus is the I Am. I spoke about that some last week. Jesus is the I Am. Number one, Jesus is the self-existing. He said, in the beginning was the Word. But that Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's a self-existing one. Before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58 says. At the garden of rest, when Jesus, just before he was crucified, he pronounces himself, I am, and they fall to the ground, John 18:6. Talked about that last week. There's no beginning and no end with Jesus. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, I am, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. You can't listen. Jesus is either a Lord, a liar, or a lunatic. Jesus is the essence of God. Letter E. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. Number one, Jesus is the truth. I'm going to spend a lot of time with Jesus. And Jesus is all truth. Jesus is truth. The Word is truth. This is the beginning that was with God. God is truth. He lies not. Letter F. Jesus is God's truth, watch, revealed to mankind. Now, we have established that Jesus is the Word, but why was God put, why is he here? He is here to reveal truth to mankind. But Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word, but he's the way, the truth, and the life. But God is truth. And so Jesus is here to reveal truth to mankind. Proverbs 8:22. Again, you can turn to it if you want to turn to it fast. Just didn't have space to put it on your paper. Proverbs 8:22 says this. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. Talking about wisdom. Watch. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. The Word was there. The truth was there. The wisdom was there. It was already there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken to me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. It says his delights were with the sons of men. What's he saying? Jesus knew from the very beginning that he was going to be there to be the Savior of the world, but he's truth. His delight is to be among the men, to be able to help them have truth. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, who shall obtain favor of the Lord? But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Jesus Christ is the Word. I kind of like the way, there's twice I believe it is in the book of Job, when, Job didn't really curse God, but he was trying to question some things. And there's two places there that I remember in Job where God says, okay, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations? Where were you? See, you say, well, I know that Jesus is God. And all. Listen, we can know that Christ died and paid for our sins, we can have a head knowledge and not believe in our heart unto righteousness. I believe we can do the same thing with the fact, okay, Jesus is God. Okay, I've got that. I can check that off. Listen, Jesus is God. And Jesus is in our heart if we know him as our Savior. God, the creator of the universe who knows all things, is the one who will be our guide. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is our shepherd. I shall not want. Boy, if we would just live like that, we just realize he knows it all. Why don't we just live with the idea of realizing who it is that wants to care for us? Number two, the Word and God go hand in hand in all things. The Word and God go hand in hand in all things. Letter A, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Everywhere God is, the Word is. And God is everywhere. Wherever God goes, the Word goes with him. Letter B, you cannot separate the Word, truth, from God. If there is God, there is truth. That's the Word. Now, you say, well, what are you trying to say here? Listen, there's an awful lot of people who say, well, I like to talk about Jesus, but I know that God thing, the Old Testament, I want to talk about him. You can't separate them. When you go to the Bible, you realize that the Word of God, the Old Testament, is not contradicting the New Testament or vice versa. It's helping you bring things into focus so you can understand who he is. Listen, there were times when you were a little kid, you thought your parents were the most meanest people in all the world. And then you grew up and found out they were saving your neck. Why? Because they did love you. Man, they got so fed up, you wanted to just kick you out the door and close it and lock it behind you. No, because they did care about you. Well, God trying to teach us that we have some things we need to straighten up. Trying to teach us we need a Savior so that we're willing to take the Savior. He's our schoolmaster. So, you listen, I'll tell you something else. There's an awful lot. I get myself in trouble here. There are people who say, well, I got a word of knowledge. But it doesn't quite line up with the book. But that's truth. That it's forever settled in heaven. But this is how I feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. Is the truth. Well, I feel like it is. Well, does it go with the word? Well, no, but then it's not truth. I don't care how good it makes you feel, how much sense it makes, it's not truth if it doesn't go along with the truth. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. In the beginning was the word. God, truth was already settled before the foundation of the world. This is truth. Now, Jesus was the personification of truth for us to see it in a human shell, but truth is still truth, and this is the Word of God, and He's the Word of God made flesh. And so you cannot separate the Word from God. So don't try to pull anything like that on it. Letter C. The Word will not and cannot contradict God or go against God. So you worship the book. No, the Word of God I preserved. And I have the Word of God. Well, is God so little He can't preserve His Word? He preserved His Word, and here it is. And so we can't, so don't say, well, I've got this, I think it's the way I think, it's how I feel, oh, my soul. How I feel. Oh my, let's not go there. What do I know to be true? I'll tell you what. You settle what you know to be true, it'll give you the right feelings. It'll give you a peace that passes understanding. It'll give you a hope you never thought you had. Number three. The Word is everything God is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was? Was God. The Word is everything God is. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But we read earlier in verse 14 of John 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but so is the Word. This is who He is. I'm not gonna wave this over here and some kind of crazy power is going to hit you. No, that's not the way God works. I understand that. But the essence of who God is, the Word of God, is everything that God says He is right in here. Listen, you want to find out what He's like? So I want to get to know God. No, read the Bible. And the fact is, if you're saved, you have Christ in your heart, if he doesn't dwell, you're none of His. But if you have Christ in your heart, you go back and read John 14, 15, 16. The Holy Spirit will come and lead you in all truth. The author of the book, the Word itself, will guide you in the truth. So I didn't understand that passage. Well, maybe you're not ready for that passage. You just keep reading. He'll give you what you need. You just keep reading. One of these days you'll come back and say, I never did. Oh, there it is. Can I get a witness? There's verses that you've read. Yeah, you've read over and over and over again since it makes no sense. And all of a sudden, one time you're reading it, boom, it's like a neon sign goes off. And you think, why didn't I see that the first time? And we go around and tell all our friends, look what I found. You know, as if it wasn't there. It's like you split two pages open. There's a whole other page underneath there and just found something there. No, it was there all the time. But God was now ready for us to understand it. Because the author, the Word, will teach us the Word. Letter B. The Word reveals, I've commented this, reveals God to us. Now, kind of play on words, if you will, here. The Word reveals God to us. In the beginning was the Word, and He became flesh. Christ in His flesh will reveal God to us. But this also reveals God to us. This is the Word in print. The Word of God hasn't changed. God has revealed the Word of God down the road in a systematic way. It wasn't haphazard. The Word is God, just like God is love. It's the essence of who He is. And this is the essence of who He is. Number two, the Word reveals to us God's character. God's character. Now, Sunday nights, we've been walking through Genesis with Abraham. I said Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary faults. He had, because of his faults, he had ordinary fears. And because of his fears, he had ordinary failures. But he believed in the faithfulness of God. That's what he believed in, the faithfulness of God. The Word of God reveals to us God's character. And inside, the Holy Spirit is saying, now, this is who I am. And He's the one who teaches and draws it and puts it right down in our heart. And that's why it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I just don't believe it. Then you haven't read it enough. Now, I can read The Night Before Christmas and Donner and Dancer and Comet and Cupid, and I can read it every day, but you know what? It's not going to settle in my heart as truth. It's not the same thing as the living Word of God. Somehow, some way, with God's power and His Spirit, you read the Word of God, and as crazy as sometimes it sounds and as difficult it is to understand, little by little, it starts to coagulate and formulate and focus, so all of a sudden it's like, this is what life is all about. It's not on Donner, on Blitzen, Comet and Cupid, Dasher and Dancer. It's no. In fact, the older you get, the more you read that, the more silly it gets. But not with this. It's something different. That's exactly right. So, it reveals the character of God. Number three, the Word reveals to us God's purpose. God's purpose. His purpose for creation, His purpose for mankind, His purpose for our life. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What's the will of God? Well, there's quite a few places where it says this is the will of God. Why don't you start with those? And then the parts where it says thou shalt not and thou shalt, they're good too. And they're will of God. You start doing those things and being faithful and trusting the faithfulness of God, you'd be surprised how He starts, turning on the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wait a minute. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. In Hebrews, it says, in sundry times, God revealed Himself by His Son, and now, by His Word. Number four, the Word reveals God's essence. I wasn't maybe the best word for it, but that's what I used. God's essence to all mankind through His Word. The Word reveals God's essence to all mankind. What does that mean? Who He is, how He thinks, what He's like, that He loves you with an everlasting love. And then He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That verse 2 is basically a restatement as a matter of clarification. If you haven't gotten it yet, this Word is the same thing that was with God at the beginning. It was, it is, it was with, but it was Him. This is the Word. Puts it all together. Don't try to separate the Word of God from God. Number four. We'll see. Number four. The Word is equal to the Creator. Now, I'm not saying the Bible is the Creator. Don't get me wrong. The Bible, the Word of God, the written Word of God, is an expression of all that God is. And Jesus Christ is an expression of all that God is. Look at verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, I like the way John says it, just so you know. All things were made by Him. Okay. And without Him wasn't anything made that was made. Oh. There's no exceptions. So, well, He made everything. Yeah, but, you know, well, He didn't make, you know, He made the first molecules. And then they popped out, and then they had a, you know, a little tadpole, and then tadpole sprung legs, and it crawled up on the side of the water, and its tail fell off, and it crawled up the tree, and then it grew a tail again and hung by it. I'd have any ancestors who ever hung by a tail, maybe a neck or two, but not by the tail. He made it all, each of its kind after its kind. All things that you see, He made. I don't care if it's been hidden in deep, darkest Africa for the last 3,000 years, and boom, oh, look at that, brand new species. All things were made by Him. So in case if there's any question about this, to avoid allowing anything or anyone to squeeze some credit out of creation for themselves, He says, without Him was not anything made that was made. That word made there means caused to be, generated from nothing. Now, you don't want me to make dinner. I have a hard time boiling water without burning it. But if I made dinner, I'd be making it from something that's already here. You ever hear about the atheist who was throwing himself to work? He said, "Well, whatever you can do, I can do." And God said, "Can you make man?" He says, "Yeah, I can make man. Watch, here we go." And he said, No, you get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. Genesis 1:1 says this. In the beginning, God. Now, John says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So we're talking about one and the same here. Verse 2, it says, and earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Watch. And God said. In other words, to speak into existence. God spoke the Word. You give the Word, and it happens. And it is done by His power and His authority over all things, including existence itself. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness called night, the evening and morning were the first day. Colossians 1:15 says this. It's talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, and there that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So in other words, He says He's the image, the image of the invisible God. I mean, the physical likeness, a representative. We're going to talk about it a little bit more here in a second, next point. And He says, in Him all things consist. That means made to stand together. They're held together. I was talking about on Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, I said, hate is neutral. when you're talking about God. Love is the expression of God's mercy. Or you could say mercy is the expression of God's love. Said that way. God would that none should perish. But if we listen, God doesn't go around saying, who can I zap today? That's not part of his character. He's love. And he's not willing that any should perish. He says, I take no joy in the death of the heathen. So that's not who he is. However, if someone wants to say, I'm going to go against it, or they're going to hurt the people that are trying to do right, he will say, okay, but you're left to your own devices and to the consequences that this world of sin is going to bring upon you. And that was when he hated Esau, he just wasn't blessing him like he blessed Jacob. Okay? Now watch me. If God simply says, I'm not going to control the world, it goes into chaos. Because in him all things consist. By his might and his power, he keeps everything in motion. I can't remember what it is because I'm not a scientist. Maybe somebody else remembers. There's one of our planets where it has one moon that goes the opposite direction. It goes the opposite direction of the rest of the moons. You say, why? I think God's just playing with us. He says, watch this. Hey, Jesus, watch this. I'm going to put this. And they're going to find us one of these days. Oh, about all around 1800. They're going to find this other one. Goes around the other direction. Why does it do that? I don't know. Because, see, you would think that if they spoke, they would all go around the same direction, wouldn't you? I said, well, let's just go against nature. I can do that because I made nature. I can do whatever I want. Well, I don't understand why it's like this. Doesn't make any sense. God's just playing with you. He's jerking your chain. Well, you know what he's saying? I'm in control. If I want to make it go around the other direction, I just will. In him all things consist. Number five. The incarnation of the Word. The incarnation of the Word. That's not evaporated milk. Okay? It means to put into the flesh. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word, the truth that was the essence of God, was made, caused to be made flesh. And that word flesh means the meat of a human as opposed to the soul and the spirit. The Spirit of God was caused to be encapsulated in a human body, in a form, veiled in the flesh, so that we could comprehend it. All that God is, the essence of who He is, was encapsulated in a human body. The essence of God was put into a human shell, if you will. He was all man, and He's getting influence from that body. He's interacting with that body. But he's also spirit. He's all God. He's all man. His essence was put in there. He was incarnated. Letter B, and dwelt among us. That word dwelt means resided. Watch. Took up residence. He went into a human body, and he took up residence among us. That means positionally the same as those around. God. You say, well, how in the world? Now, you say, well, temples can't, maybe my hands cannot contain God. No, can't. Unless he decides to. You ever say, well, can God make a stone he can't pick up? You ever hear that one? Well, he can do anything. Jesus, as a human, couldn't pick up every stone. As a God, he can do whatever he wants. And so he put himself in a position where he was in all always tempted such as we, yet without sin. He experienced what we experience. He experienced the limitations of human, of being a human. And yet he's all God. You step now, you say, well, I don't understand all that. Well, if you did, you'd be God. Our God's bigger than that. But God was put in a human shell and took up residence in the same position as those around him. In other words, he lived with them. He ate with them. He worked with them. He hurt with them. He rejoiced with them. He observed by them. He was observed by them. He was ridiculed by them. He was received by them. He was rejected by them. He was loved by them. He was hated by them. He was criticized by them. He was protected by them. He was bullied by them. He lived in all manners such as we. God living where we live. Now, the fact is, God already knows everything we go through because he's God. Well, why did he go through that? Because our little pea brains think, well, how would he know how I feel? Well, he says, I'll make sure you know that I know how you feel. I'll just have to go feel it. I'm going to live where they live. I'm going to be touched with their infirmities. I'm going to bear their burdens and carry their weight. And they know he knows what it feels like to be rejected, to be hurt. I'll live where they live. And while he was living where we live, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Letter C, we beheld his glory. That word beheld means to look closely. We looked closely. We observed to see, and here's the word perceive. Perceive. Understand. Get some kind of conceptual understanding. As he was among us, we saw how he was different. See what I'm saying? We saw how he was different. We beheld his glory, the essence of who he is. We beheld who he is, the essence of who he is, that which he is apparently, means the dignity of him or the lack thereof, the character, whether good or bad, his capacity, whether physical or mental or spiritual. We beheld who he was, his glory, all that he was. He's put on the cross, he's nailed, he's been butchered, and he says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. We just beheld his glory. He saw a leper and he touched him. Beheld his glory. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he put on the towel and washed the disciples' feet, we beheld his glory of who he is. And yet when they stood on the mountain and saw him standing there with Moses and Elijah transfigured, we saw his glory. He's king, he's servant. He suffered with every one of us as the Son of Man. Felt not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took on the form of a servant and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he shall be highly exalted above all, is the essence of who he is. Well, what does that mean? Letter D. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He means that no one else is like that but God. No one else is like that but God. And by the way, we can put it on and we can try to put on a little show, but it's not going to last unless it's of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. All those things, I skipped one, but all those things, to be there, and listen, when it really gets bad, if it's still there, that's God. And when that happens, then comes to fruition when he said, and ye shall be the light of the world. He came to be the light of the world, said, you shall be the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the darkness didn't know what to do with it. Listen, we ought to be a Christian that darkness doesn't know what to do with us. What is that? What is that? What manner of love is that? You know what that means? Where does a love like that come from? Not from around here. I know the people who live around here. It must be from a guy that from out of town. Oh, we gotta stop. Letter D. The glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten means the one that could have only been caused to be by God. Underneath that, number one, to be the issuance of God. The things that you do, Nicodemus says, you must be a man of God because who else can do such things? You must be from God. Oh, do you mean that we can be born of God? Our life, our spirit can be made alive in Christ. And you are quickened by the Holy Spirit, made alive. That part of you comes alive. Now you can decide which one you're going to listen to, the flesh or the spirit, but you got to become made alive. Well, you know what? I'm going to stop there. It's time to go home. The mind can only absorb as much as the other end can endure. It's just so good. I don't hate to stop. I got about another 45 minutes worth here. I'm not kidding. Listen, you know what the wonderful thing is? That's our shepherd. You know, when we stand here and say, you know, we're all sinners, people feel discouraged. What I'm trying to do is give you hope. Because, yeah, that's true. But in him is life. And life more abundantly. But we're not going to get it until we realize we need it. We're going to dupe ourselves and think we've got everything we need. Why can't I handle it? Because you're trying to do it yourself. Oh, we can handle a while ourselves for a little while, but my goodness, after a while, we just can't do it. You ever notice when things come in threes? Or one thing, then they get another thing is a problem. Well, I was okay, but that last thing, man, just... Well, you might have been able to stop the second two if you had humbled yourself at the first one. But you say, that's all right, God, I got this, I've got this. What happened to pray without ceasing? Well, I can do all things through Christ. Be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. I got this, God. We think we're doing him a favor. We don't want to bother him. He who spoke the word and light. That little thing we're worrying about is nothing. Why do I want to bother him? He wants you to bother him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But we're supposed to believe that he is and reward them who diligently seek him. Believe that he is. I know I can take care of it. That's all I want. Have you ever known somebody who likes to buy dinner? When you ever go out, they always buy the dinner. And if you don't let them buy the dinner, they're almost upset with you. You ever known anybody like that? Apparently not. I've met a few folks like that. And it's like if I try to buy dinner, they're almost insulted. Why? Because they want to take care of you. To not let them take care of you is rejecting their love. And God says, I love you with everlasting love. I made a garden and I put you in it. I provided everything and you rejected it. And it seems like you've all been doing that ever since. I want to take care of you. Now, you need something to do to keep yourself out of trouble. So you need to take care and dress the garden. You need to tend to things they've given you. You know what we say? Nah, I don't want you taking care of me. I'm going to take care of myself. And God says, well, what am I for? I want to love you. Let me love you. We work so hard, work against him. It's amazing. It's amazing. We got to go. Father, we thank you again for your love. And we thank you for who you are. And you're so sweet. So sweet to see what you do in our lives. Again, it's several folks over the last few weeks have just shown how they've gone through a dry time, and there were some questions about what's going to happen, and you, boom, you've solved all the things right in the nick of time. It's just been so amazing. Thank you so much for your love. Lord, help us to relax and just do things your way and let you love us. Father, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes